Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to the Q2 Report conference call. At this time, all participants will be on a listen-only mode. There will be a speaker presentation followed by question and answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, and I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker, Mr. Johan Ek. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for your interest in Handicare and our Q2 report. Now, of course, this report comes as a very eventful time in the outside world, with COVID-19 and all its implications, but it's actually also a very eventful time for Handicare, with lots of improvement activities ongoing inside the company. And these are improvement activities that we really feel will provide for an increasingly attractive future for our business and for our performance. And I'd like to say that it's been a very busy quarter, but also with good traction in the change programs that we are doing, and that's what I will be talking about today to some extent. But before we start, just a few words. What we're trying to do here and what we are doing is to create a more focused Handicare, a more efficient Handicare that is really focusing on the business where we're a clear winner, and this is accessibility, for sure. While doing that, we are releasing capital from other parts of the business, and we feel that we're making good progress, and we're already starting to see some early evidence of performance pickup as a result of this. So the purpose really here is to build a fitter and stronger platform, which we think is a vital ingredient for us to create a stronger company in a market where we feel clearly that the kind of structural and long-term growth dynamics are still in place, and we are well positioned to reap the benefits from that. So with this short introduction, why don't we go into the material? So if we turn to the first page, the summary, Q2 2020. It was a quarter with good progress, despite heavy disruption from COVID-19. If we look at the trading, revenues decreased organically in the quarter, all of it driven by COVID-19. We could see it in all our segments. But then, as we came into June, we started to see gradual improvement, and I'm glad to say that we have seen this gradual improvement continue so far in July as well. We couldn't really control the external world, our focus was on internal measures, and we took a number of quite, you know, concrete and strong initiatives inside when it came to cost reduction, when it came to minimizing our resource utilization, and we also had the help of some furlough schemes in some of the countries. Nevertheless, adjusted EBITDA declined significantly versus last year. Again, all of this driven by the COVID-19 effect. However, leverage is still at 2.2, which, and we have significant liquidity. So I think from a financial position point of view, our situation remains very comfortable. When it comes to more the strategic aspects of the business, we concluded or closed the divestment of patient handling. We launched the Lift Up program, which I will soon talk about a bit more in detail. We took the decision to establish a local stairlift production unit in the U.S. next year, and we also brought in Randy Binstock as the new president for patient handling. Now, when it comes to the outlook, I think with the progress we're making in our improvement programs, we feel that there is now clear evidence that we start to have better operational leverage in place in the company. So as soon as trading starts to pick up, we will benefit from that more than before. We also see that, you know, the positive fundamental drivers that support our business are still very much there, and we believe that we have now really gotten a good start in repositioning Handicare in order for us to reach our medium-term objectives for U.S. investors as well. Now if you turn to page 3, please, I'll talk a bit more detail about the COVID-19 impact. And this impact was mitigated by very clear cost down measures during the quarter. But if you start with the, on the left-hand side of this slide, we could see that for the full quarter, we had a 31.6% drop in revenues versus last year. We had a 35% drop in the two first months, April and May, and then a gradual improvement in June. And I think the gradual improvement in June was particularly strong in the geographies where there had been quite severe lockdowns in place during April and May. Now, from our side, the focus was really to mitigate the negative impact from this revenue drop, and we did it in three different ways. First was reducing cost kind of short-term, via short-term measures, using furlough schemes, short-term layoffs, but also having a cost freeze across the group to make sure that we could manage the Q2 as well as possible from a cost perspective. Then in parallel, very importantly, we introduced a lift-up program and got off to a very good start here. I'm very happy to say that the first phase is almost finished, and we're seeing good traction in that program. Finally, we also worked very hard where we could, of course, on the commercial side, selling more virtually, digitally, training our dealers to do the same thing, working with the latest health and safety equipment and measures to try to conduct business wherever possible, and this was also a way to mitigate the negative result during Q2. But with that, I'll hand over to Pernilla, and she will go through the financials, and then I will come back and talk about the lift-up program.
Thank you, Johan. As Johan has said, this quarter has been characterized by the COVID-19 pandemic, which have had a negative effect on all our business segments. The infection prevention measures, in particular the isolation of elderly and other vulnerable people, has affected the accessibility business with decreased demand and made it more difficult to sell and install stairlifts. The patient handling business has mostly been affected by delays in installation projects due to access to hospitals has been reduced. The revenue for Q2 amounted to 39 million euro, which is a decline of 38% in reported currency, and in constant currency a decline of 31.6%. The impact on revenue over the quarter has gradually improved, as Johan mentioned. In April and May, we had an organic decline of 35%, but in June, 25%. Our accessibility business had a decline in the quarter of 33.9%, our patient handling business, 30%, and our vehicle accessibility, 17%. If we then look at it from a margin perspective, we have taken a number of actions to scale down both direct and indirect costs through furloughs, short-term layoffs, reduction of temporary resources and non-essential costs, as well as implemented the lift-up program during the quarter. Gross margin at 40.1%, and margin held up despite the significant revenue decline through capacity adjustment, strong efficiency, and government grants of 0.9 million euro. But still the margin is 1.1% lower than last year. And this is mainly related to higher freight costs due to COVID-19 and unfavorable product mix. Operating expenses were significantly down in absolute terms with 5.6 million euro or 30%. This was driven by lower costs for personnel and other cost reductions, which is attributed to COVID-19 short-term actions and governmental grants of 0.8 million euros, but also from starting to see the long-term effects of the Lift Up program. Our group-wide expenses, which apart from group functions cost, includes almost all IT costs for the entire group. Overall, that was reduced to 2.6 million for the quarter. EBITDA ended at 0.9 million euro with a margin of 2.4% despite the challenging effect of COVID-19. We continue to have a good operating cash flow, 2 million, and a cash conversion over 70% for the quarter, as we've been able to adjust our level of capital tied up in working capital with the declining revenue. We had a leverage net debt to EBITDA, excluding the IFRS 16 impact, of 2.2 times. On the 4th of May, we closed the divestment of Patient Handling Europe. The purchase price amounted to 30 million euro on a cash and debt-free basis. Realized loss from the divestment amounted to 13.9 million, including transaction costs. And from this report, Patient Handling Europe is treated as a discontinued business, which means that historical numbers for this business is excluded. Next slide, please. Accessibility had an organic decline of 33.9%, where April and May had a decline of 40%, but followed with gradual improvements in June with a decline of 23%. The decline was attributed to COVID-19 pandemic in its entirety. Europe had a decline of 32.8% and North America of 37%. Looking at how the pandemic has spread and the government's decision to lock down the countries, we've seen a correlation to our decreased revenue, but also the improvements as the countries are opening up. Countries like France and Italy were significantly worse than the group in April and May, but has been better than the group in June. Countries like Germany and Netherlands have performed better than the group throughout the quarter. If we look at the margin, we have an operating margin of 10.3%. The decreased operating margin in percentage compared to last year was a result of lower gross margin, mainly due to the increased freight costs related to COVID-19 and an unfavorable product mix. However, operating costs were significantly lower in absolute terms due to the measures implemented to adapt to lower volumes. During the quarter, we received government grants totaling of 1.1 million relating to personnel due to COVID-19. Next slide, please. The patient handling business overall declined with 30%, mainly due to the restricted access to care institutions and delay of installation of seating track projects due to the COVID-19 pandemic. The largest decrease was in the U.S. institutional segment. Despite the significant decrease in revenue, the adjusted EBITDA margin was 0.5 million euro or 6%. Driven by short-term measures such as furloughs and general cost cutting, as well as long-term adjustments to the cost base in the Lift Up program. Government grants were received in total of 0.4 million relating to furloughs in Canada. Next slide, please. We are now on the vehicle accessibility slide, which is our smallest business in Handicare. Overall, the revenue was 4.1 million, and we had an organic decline of 17.1%. The decline is related to COVID-19, which has led to delays of cars at car deliveries, but also due to lower ambulance sales compared to last year. An EBITDA of 0.3 or 6.5%. Gross margin in line with last year, but impacted by the weakening of the Norwegian krona. Operating expenses was reduced in the period in absolute terms, but were increased in relation to revenue. Next slide, please. As we talked about before, we have a leverage of 2.2, which is better than our financial target of 2.5. We have been able to reach the target because of our focus on working capital improvement as well as the impact of our divestments. We have had a continued good cash flow conversion over 70% for the quarter. By the end of Q2, we had 55 million of cash plus a revolver of 40 million, of which 37 is unutilized, which gives us a total liquidity of €92 million. Overall, we continue to have a strong cash position. Now I would like to hand over to Johan again.
All right. Thank you very much, Pernilla. One of the main activities that we carried out during the Q2 was, of course, the Lift Up program, which has the goal of focusing and simplifying our organization and our platform so that we can have better operating leverage and that we put the clear focus where it needs to be, which is on the accessibility business. So we had a very good start of this program. It's a three-phase program. During the second quarter now, it was focused on the focus and simplify phase. Now we have gradually shifted into the profitability phase, and as we come towards the fall, it will be all about growth. So far, very good traction on the program. If you turn to the next page, I know that some of you have probably seen this many times already, but just as a recap, the benefits coming out of this program is that, and we're seeing that we are 90% there in the run rate already now for 2020. So full adjusted EBITDA impact is €8 million per annum. Of that, we will see 3 to 4 million coming in 2020, and then in 2021 we will benefit the full impact of this program of €8 million. The one-time costs are equally €8 million, of which cash items are €6.5 million. So it gives a payback of roughly 1 year. If you turn to the next page, please. Just again, in summary, the Lift Up program has the purpose of establishing a focused and agile organization for handicare that reflects our ambition to continue to win in accessibility, and also an organization that reflects our size and kind of to avoid any type of duplication in our organization. So that has been what we have put in place during the second quarter. So reflecting the focus on accessibility, optimizing processes in doing so, and avoiding duplication of efforts, whether that be on group overhead or anywhere else within the organization. So a lot of streamlining has been going on during this quarter. And as a result of that, we come out with a structure that is much more fit for purpose for handicare, and which is also yielding quite positive savings, as you can see. Now, as we have moved into the second phase, it's about increasing profitability further. We started already in the end of Q1 to work on our supplier base and our procurement prices. We have initiatives in Q3 on pricing. So we are continuing these types of efforts throughout the third quarter. Also, very importantly, we are working to expand our market presence and extending our dealer network. We are working on the product portfolio. And I think then, step by step, we are now coming back also to a situation where we want to drive our M&A agenda in a more focused manner. Finally, a few words on patient handling. First, it has been about stabilizing the business, making sure that we have a kind of decent profitability at the top line levels that we have been seeing in the past few quarters. But I think it's also fair to say that when this is done, when we see that we have stabilized and when we have decent profitability, we will also assess our options going forward with this business, and that's most likely towards the most likely beginning of next year. Now, if you turn to the next page, I'll just offer a quick summary again on the quarter. I think obviously a very challenging quarter, but Handicare has responded well, acted swiftly and effectively in order to mitigate the negative implications from the top line reduction. And we have also at the same time done some very significant structural improvements, which makes us stronger and more focused for the mid to long term, obviously a good thing. And I think it's fair to say that we start to see, you know, evidence that, that the program is yielding the type of cost reductions we were hoping for. And also very glad to say we are seeing evidence that the market starts to pick up. There was a pickup in the end of the second quarter. We can see that continuing so far in July. Obviously a very positive thing. So therefore we have an optimistic outlook. We believe that the drivers supporting us in accessibility, for example, are still very much there, perhaps even intensified as a result of the post-COVID world. We also believe that we have better operational leverage in the business than we had going into COVID. So I think it's fair to say that myself and my team, we have a strong conviction that, that we are well set to start to deliver on the medium-term objectives that we have set for the group and for U.S. investors. Now, with that, I would be happy to take any questions, and we hereby open the Q&A session. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We will now begin the question and answer session. And as a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from the line of Christopher Liljeberg. Your line is now open.
Thank you, and good morning. Yeah, my question relates to operating cost. You mentioned yourself a quick response, respond to the lower sales. At the same time, you're doing this restructuring program, so it's a little bit difficult to follow, you know, how much of this is sustainable and what's not. So could you maybe, you know, how much of temporary effects were there in the quarter on top of the 1.6 million from different support programs?
I mean, first, maybe if I give the first part of the answer, kind of all the structural measures, they are precisely that. They are sustainable savings going forward. And we have said that that will generate an annual EBITDA improvement of 8 million euros, and you will see an effect of 3 to 4 million already in 2020. When we did these structural improvements, the baseline that we started from and that we compared to was H2 2019, which was a fully normal quarter. And it's against that that we have taken the measures and achieved the savings. So all of that is structural. None of that is short-term. So there is nothing short-term in that program whatsoever. Now, on the furloughs...
it's the starting line around 20 million in operating cost on a quarterly basis?
Yes.
Okay. And now it was 13 million in the quarter, so how much of that was sustainable savings?
Well, we don't really give that in detail out. I think as we come into Q3 and Q4, it will become more apparent on that. And so it is a quarter where, of course, activity levels are down a lot, and that is, of course, taking the cost base down as activity base is down a bit. But I think I would like to say this, that, you know, all these lift-up measures, we started to implement that from mid-June, and some of them earlier already. So you have a fair amount of that, but we are not specifying it here. So it will be more kind of transparent as you come into Q3 and 4.
And the temporary measures you're doing, how long will you be able to continue with that in the third quarter? We talked about temporary layoffs, et cetera. I guess you can't do it for too long without hurting the business. But
yeah, I mean, these are actions that we take depending on what the demand is. When the demand comes back, obviously we make more money selling more and having people at work than kind of by these short-term measures. But we will scale back as the demand comes. So that is the way we work. So in July, you should still expect there to be people on short-term leave, and then we will assess August, September separately how the demand is coming back. So we will be applying that during the third quarter as well, but most likely to a much, much lower level.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, and your next question comes on the line of Victor. Your line is now open.
Hello, guys. Thanks, and I hope you can hear me. Just in terms of the recovery in growth for patient handling in the U.S., it seems to me as if it was quite sluggish between April up until June as well. So just any comments on how you're viewing the sort of access to hospitals here entering Q3 and sort of your any comments on your backlog in terms of more recurring sales compared to the project ones, that would be helpful. Thank you.
So if we're looking at U.S. overall and the North, or maybe the North American, you have a very different situation in the different states. So you have some which is starting to open up, and then you have some which is still closed and maybe are even going back to being closed again. So as you were saying, Victor, it's going a little bit up and down, so we're following that carefully. There is a delay with projects, as we said, and also then it's difficult to anticipate how it will be going forward when it comes to new projects. But we have a pipeline, and we are continuing to work on that pipeline. But it's difficult with the access.
And to get a sense of your regional presence in the different areas, you mentioned a few, obviously a number of states perhaps going the other way again. Could you just tell us if there is any sort of region you're more concentrated to in the U.S.?
I don't want to go into those details here.
Okay. And also on, similar question on the stairlift business as well in the U.S. Obviously, not a huge part of your net sales, but nevertheless has been growing well in the recent quarters. So just to get a sense on how that is progressing as well here in the end of the quarter and heading into the Q3.
I think there was a general pattern at the end of Q2 where we saw trading pick up throughout accessibility, and that applies both to Europe and the U.S. And now, of course, it's, you know, the situation in the U.S., of course, is hard to predict, and we follow the news as everybody else does, but I think we saw the same pattern end of Q2 and so far in July as we saw for the rest of the business. And like you're saying, 85% of the revenues in accessibility is coming from Europe, 15% from the U.S., and also kind of just a side comment to your patient handling question. I mean, obviously 90% of the EBITDA is generated in accessibility. That is the focus. That's the locomotive of the profits. That's where we put the focus.
Okay, thanks. And just lastly, on the cost side again, just to perhaps ask it differently, I mean, with the savings you're aiming for, the 3 to 4 million already by this year, would you say that is going to be sort of back-end loaded in terms of the full effect, or are you saying that you already see those levels at the moment?
No, we're coming up to the kind of full run rate very quickly. So when we say we're at 90%, that is 90% of that full number. So you should expect to see full effect in Q4 and almost full effect in Q3.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. And your next question comes from the line of Emmanuel Figueredo. Your line's now open.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Just if you can use the opportunity just to give us an update on anything relevant on how your agents or dealers, sorry, how your dealers are doing in the U.S., and you know, any support you're giving to them, also on possible payment conditions, would be great if you can give us some color. Thank you.
I mean, to be honest, the main support we're giving is to try to help them conduct business by, you know, using and training them in digital selling and kind of dealing with customers in a virtual way. There is no type of financial support going out. We have a fairly robust dealer base in Europe and the U.S., and you know, the pickup we're seeing in the business, that's coming really across the board, across all the dealers, I would say. Not sure if that answered your question, but that is my answer.
Is the dealer network stable in the U.S. over the quarter, or you've had additions or reductions?
No, it's stable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you once again. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star and one on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions at this time. Please continue.
All right. Thank you very much for your questions and for your interest. And we look forward to speaking to you again on November 4th. Sorry. All right. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you all for participating. You may now disconnect. Speaker, please stand by.